Amen.
I want you all to get up for me quickly, please. That's one of the privileges of when you have the mic. People tend to listen to you. I want you all to come out of your seats just quickly. Just humor me. Just come out of your seats and come stand here in the front. Let's just say God put something on my heart and now I have to be obedient, okay? And if it gives you a bit of exercise in the process, it's probably not a bad thing. Right. Just everybody come and stand here on the front, on the carpet somewhere. That last song says, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. How many of you know that God can open a door for you in a second? And things have to happen in the spirit world before we will see them in the natural. Sometimes what we experience now happened in the spirit world a year, two, three ago. But if it doesn't happen in the spirit, it cannot be established in the natural. There's many of you that need a breakthrough. Your breakthrough comes from the spirit world. It first manifests in the spirit world, and then you see it come through in the natural. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Sometimes we have to do things prophetically. Sometimes God expects us to do something by faith. How many of you know that the Word of God teaches us, and that will never change, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Can God open a door for you? Close your eyes quickly. Think of every area in your life where you're stuck right now. Think of everything that right now is not seeming to work the way you expect it to work. The areas where nothing is happening. Now you bring that before God. And God is saying to you, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. I heard that song says, rivers in the desert will I see. Some of you, your love life is like a desert. Some of you, your bank account is like a desert. Some of you, your petrol tank is like a desert. Some of you, your relationship is like a desert. Well, when the river of God touches there, it changes everything. God doesn't need weeks. God doesn't need months. God doesn't need years. Sometimes He does it in one day. This week, God did something for me in one day that I've been fighting for 9 months. And I didn't even expect it. When I woke up that morning, I had no idea that it was going to happen. And let me just say that in the natural, it was impossible. But God did it. Actually, I saw two serious divine breakthroughs in 1 week. If I had to tell you that, that would be a sermon all on its own, so I'm not even going to go there. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to form two lines for me. Make a line for me this way, and make a line for me that way. You're going to come and meet ya. Jy's voor, staan daar. You are in front, stand there. Everybody fall in behind her. No, look at me like this. Just snake around. This is not going to take long. This will take us 5 minutes. Ma, come stand here in the front so that you can go sit earlier. Pa, come stand here for. Come closer, 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 closer. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. I want to change that and say God will open the doors that right now are shut. So what are we going to do? By faith today, we're going to open the door. Open the door for my mother, please. No, 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 you're way too far. Come, come, come. Mag will be there. Open it wide. Invite her to come through. There we go. Yeah, yeah. Open door in Jesus' name. Please open the door for her. Now open it, open it. There we go. Invite her to go through. You come forward. Keep moving. Now, you open the door for my father. Open it. There we go. In Jesus' name, the door is open. Now you stand there, open the door for him. In Jesus' name, your door is open. Come forward. Now you open the door for him. In Jesus' name, the door is open. Come forward. Come, you guys have to move. You have to move. There we go. Open the door. Open for her. Your door is open. Open for her. Your door is open in Jesus' name. 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 Okay, let me just welcome to the open door. There we go. All right. Open the door for him. All right, open the door for each other. That's it. Mogwap. Your door's welcome. Come here. Welcome to the open door. Welcome to the open door. Open for her. Welcome to the open door. That's it. Welcome. Welcome to the open door. Come. Yeah, some are open for each other. That's fine. If you need a big door, tell them to start opening from way back that side, okay? You need the garage door. Then when Georgie comes, open it like that. Welcome to the open door. Come forward. In Jesus' name, welcome to the new door. There we go. Don't kill the pastor, please. Welcome to the open door. Welcome to the open door. There we go. She needs a garage door. Open it from the bottom. Okay, there we go. Welcome to the open door. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Welcome to the open door. Come forward. Amen. Welcome to the open door. Eddie, you are Mr. Gadget. I thought you were going to push the remote and the door will go. Welcome to the open door. Amen. Praise God. There we go. Listen, yeah, he needs the garage door. You must, from the bottom, push it up. There we go. Amen. Open the door. Open. Welcome to the open door. There we go. There we go. Oh, barn door. There we go. Welcome to the open door. Amen. Welcome to the open door. You need a garage door. All right. To pull it up from the bottom. Amen. There we go. Welcome to the new door, open door. Amen. Welcome into your new door. I prophesy change over your life. I speak new opportunities. Open that door. Open it. There we go. Welcome to the new door. Come. I want all of you, stretch out your hands and pull the door. Come, pull open that door. Pull it open. Everybody's opening a door for you. Do you see that? Everybody. We all have faith that God is doing miracles for you, and you are going to go through that door. Welcome to the new door. Amen? Welcome. Okay, open for it. There we go. Welcome to the new door. Amen. Welcome. Take a step into your new life. Amen. There we go. Amen. Welcome. A new season. A new time. Yay! Oh my goodness. Big John Strongbow. Welcome. Are you open? Oh, there wasn't enough people there. Oh, you got. Welcome to the new door. Welcome to the new door. New season. New time. You're all going to open a door for me. Oh, I like that. Yes. There we go.
One, two, three.
Yay! Amen. Yay! Yeah, I like it. Yes, let me go through. There we go through. Amen. Yeah, praise God. How many of you are blessed? I'll give the Lord a big hand, please. You know, God is in charge of seasons, and God can change a season in your life. And I know there's some of you, you say, oh man, you know what, even though it's winter in the natural, spiritually I've been stuck in the winter now for a very long time. It's dry, I haven't had the fresh rain, nothing has changed, everything is dull. Well, listen to me. You never know what God did for you right now. Probably the rain is starting to come down even now as I speak in the spirit world. And probably you're going to see the effects of what God did for you today in a very big way. Today I'm going to speak to you on hope. It's a message that I preached about 4 years ago. And this morning when I was getting ready for church, God spoke to me and he told me that this is what I need to speak to you about. I've been listening to a lot of people talk, and I know that there is an element of hopelessness, an element of despair that is creeping in to a lot of people's lives. And you know, I know how the devil is. When things are tough, when we battle, the devil comes and he chitches in our ears. And I want us to look at what the Word of God has to say about these things. I'm going to read from the book of Psalm 146. It's quite long, but I want you to listen because this is a very important psalm. And I believe that today God is going to speak to you. Before I preach, before I read that, put your hand on your heart and speak this with me. Father, thank you that you touch my heart today. My heart will open up and receive the Word of God. I receive the truth. I receive the life. I receive the power of God to change me, my heart, my life, and my situation. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Psalm 146. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all of my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save you. When their spirits depart, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. The Lord who remains faithful forever, he upholds the cause of the oppressed, and he gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. Now, you know what? If you ever go and read the psalm on your own, Psalm 146, you will see that this is an amazing psalm and there are some wonderful promises that we are given in this psalm. Before we look at any of those promises in more detail, I want to first focus on a single word. And we find that in the Psalm 146, verse 5. And that word is blessed. He says, blessed is those whose help is from the God of Jacob. That word blessed. Today we all came forward and we trusted God to open a door for a new time, a new season, a new adventure in your life. Now I want you to just imagine with me that today God did actually do that. The Bible says, according to your faith, it shall be given unto you. If you do not believe today, you will receive nothing. But if you receive it, if you believe it, if you accept it, something is going to happen for you because that's how the kingdom of God works. So let's say, let's argue that today, and let's believe that today, God started a new season in your life. Let's say that today you made a choice to put your past behind you. Is there anybody here that receives that? Then wave at me. You do this so that God can see and the devil giving you a hard time also knows. Then I want you to listen to me. If God says that today he will make a way where there seems to be no way, if God says that today I will open doors that previously have been shut, then you must understand something. Right now, your life is a blank canvas. Up to today, there was problems, there was trials, there was tribulations, there was this, that, oh, this doesn't work, that's never going to happen, but today it stops. Look at me and say this with me. Today, everything changed. From this moment, everything is different. I am not stuck in the pit anymore. I am not hopeless anymore. I am not in despair anymore. Right now, my life is a blank canvas. And God is writing a new book. Now, let's ask you, what do you want in your book? Breakthrough. Love. Look at his wife. Her eyes just went, oh, I like that. What do you want in your book? Peace. What do you want in your book? Miracles. Uncommon miracles. Okay? Let's go this side. What you want in your book? Yes. Miracles. And you? What? Peace. Can we all agree? We want the following things in our book. We want peace. We want hope. We want joy. We want life. We want love. We want happiness. We want excitement. We want victory. Amen? We want what Jesus says is ours. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Look at your neighbor and say, from today, I receive, I claim, and I manifest abundant life in every facet of my life. Amen. Yeah, praise God. Praise God. Now let's look at what God says. If you just started a new life today, you have no idea where it's going to go. If your heart is wrong, and if you allow worry and anxiety and fear and hopelessness and despair to stay there, then it's going to speak to you and say, oh, it's still going to be bad. Then you've got to put that under your feet. And you're going to say to that thing, listen to me, when God changes things, they change. I will not replicate the mistakes of my past. I will not stay stuck in the pit that has sucked me in, because God says He will make a way. And God made a way for me today. So let's say, let's forget about what you want and let's ask, what does God want? Can somebody tell me what God wants? He wants a better future for us. What else does God want? No, what does God want for you? Not want you to do for Him. What does God want for you? Thank you. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope, and to give you a future. The scripture says, for the Lord delights in the prosperity of His servant. Look at your neighbor and say, as a servant of God, God delights in seeing you prosper. Oh, look at your other neighbor and say, don't worry, for you too. Okay, now they all feel good. Listen to me. God wants us to be blessed. God wants us to go forward. God wants us to prosper. God wants us to conquer. God wants us to be victorious. God does not want us to be stuck in the pit. That doesn't mean He can't use the pit, but He doesn't want you to be stuck there. Amen? All right, so what is the word blessed? If you have more than two working brain cells, right now you must be thinking to yourself, oh, you know what? I would rather be blessed than battling. I would rather have hope than feel hopeless. I would rather be victorious than suffer defeat. But let's focus on the word blessed. The word blessed, if we look at it and we see what it says, the word blessed is to enjoy happiness, to enjoy bliss or heaven, to experience pleasure, contentment, and good fortune. Where did I get that? It comes from the Webster's Dictionary. I'm going to repeat that. I want you to listen. To be blessed is to enjoy happiness. To be blessed is to enjoy the bliss of heaven. To be blessed is to experience pleasure, contentment, and good fortune. Is there anybody in this place today that doesn't want that? At least you all hear well. Is there anybody in this place that wants the opposite of that? You don't hear well. Is there anybody in this place that wants the opposite of happiness, the opposite of bliss? Tony wants everybody to know that he changes his mind. He doesn't want that. You just came from Portugal. You're still thinking in Portuguese, right? Okay. I forgive you. I forgive you. God bless you anyway. So, would everybody who wants the happiness, the bliss of heaven, pleasure, contentment, good fortune, etc., just raise their hands for me. Now, would you like to hear seven specific blessings that God promises us in this passage? And I'm going to look at them one by one with you. Psalm 146, verse 7 says, God upholds the cause of the oppressed. The first thing, yeah, that unfortunately we have to just say, life is not always fair. And if you've gone through life a bit like I have, then you've realized it by now. Sometimes bad things do happen to good people. Life isn't always fair. And unfortunately, this world is full of corrupt and evil people that want to bring destruction, yes, even into good people's lives. And I want to say that if this happens to you a lot, if you are a good person and you try and do good to people and you try and live a good and honest life, you try and honor God and you try and honor the Word of God, and evil people misuse you and abuse you and take you for a ride, and if there's a lot of crime and corruption that comes against you, sometimes we do start feeling hurt and we do start feeling a bit oppressed. And some of you that are sitting here today are listening to me and you're thinking, oh, but you know what, that's speaking about me, because that's how I many times feel. I try and do good to people. I try and do my best. I try and give my best. I always treat others as I would have them treat me, but that's not necessarily the way that people treat me. You see, when this happens to us, we become negative, we become despondent, we become dejected. We start feeling a feeling of hopelessness, and we can literally feel how the pit begins to suck us in. But I want you to listen to me very carefully now. God is giving us some truth today that if you allow it to enter you, will set you free. I want to remind you what Jesus had to say in the book of John 8, verse 32. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. My opinion will not set you free. Your grandfather's opinion will not set you free. The atheist's opinion will not set you free. Oprah's opinion will not set you free. But God's word concerning your life will set you free. Sometimes when we've gone through bad things for so often, for so many times, we tend to have this voice saying to us, this is your life. Make peace with it. It's not going to change. It's not going to get any better. Do you know what I say to that? The devil doesn't know what he's talking about, because it's not what he says, it's what God says. It's not what the negative people, the naysayers, those that are in the pit of despair themselves have to say about your life. It's not what the demon of negativity and depression and despondency says to you. It's what God says to you that matters. And God is saying to you today, I am about to do something new. God is saying to you today, in my word I have truth. And if you live your life according to my truth, you will go forward, not backward. You will get out of that pit. You will not be stuck forever. Verse 7 in the New King James Version says, God who executes justice for the oppressed. Did you hear that? I mean, did you really listen and did you hear that? In the New King James Version, it says in verse 7, God executes justice for the oppressed. First thing that you must know is God knows that some people are oppressed. He's not ignorant to the fact that right now you are being oppressed by injustice or problems or whatever. And God says that in my time, I will give you justice. Yes, we live in a world where things are not always fair. And sometimes, if we can be honest, it looks to us like evil wins and good loses. But, and there is a very big but here, and I'm not talking about Beyonce's butt, you understand? Or the Kardashians, oh my goodness. God is a God of justice. Even if our government, our boss, our company, our school, even our parents may not. Your justice does not come from there. Your justice comes from where? It comes from God. And God promises us that He gives justice. Now I want to ask you a question. Are you really willing to disagree with God? Are you going to sit here today and say to me, you know what, it might be in the Bible, but it's not true for me? Then I want to tell you something. You need to repent and change. Because if God says it will happen, then your faith must be it will happen. I don't care how much injustice is in your life right now. God says in His Word, I execute justice for the oppressed. It might take a day, it might take a week, it might take a year, it might take 9 months. But God will make sure that you get justice. And your fight is going to be when the enemy comes and talks in your ear and says, where is your God? He doesn't care about you. Then you have to stand on the truth and say, hey, shut up. I don't listen to you, I listen to the truth. The truth will set me free. My God will come through for me. Right now He's busy doing something I don't understand. But today, tomorrow, the day after, it's going to happen for me. Because I have faith in my God. Why am I sharing this with you? Because God wants you to have hope. You know, many times we are in a situation of hopelessness and despair. The devil has brought us to the place that we just want to give up. You cannot give up because there is always hope in Christ. Your situation, even though your mind says it's hopeless, your God says, I will make a way where there seems to be no way. And I could do it in one day. The next blessing that we are spoken of, it says He gives food to the hungry. Now, the way I want to bring this across to you, this promise, is not just to see it as food. Because food is just one of the basic needs that every person has. We need food, but we need a lot of other things. We need clothing. We need a place to stay. We need a way to get to work. There's a lot of things that you need. So, hunger is a need, but clothing, accommodation, transport, and all of that stuff is also a need. So let's just say that. Philippians 4 verse 9, and my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I want to ask you a question. What needs do you have right now? Some of you are going to tell me that you need a place to stay. Some of you are going to tell me that you need a door to open, maybe in business. Some of you are going to say to me, you know what, I need more finances. Some of you are going to say to me that, you know what, Rion, I need my car's broken and I need to have it fixed. Let me ask you a question. Who's the one that meets our needs? And what does the Word of God say? Let me repeat it. God gives food to the hungry. Philippians 4 verse 9, my God will meet all your needs. Look at your neighbor and say, I have good news for you. Jesus will meet your need. Now I want you to stop right there and I want you to think about the words that you just said. And I want you to think how many times in the last week you thought to yourself, this can't happen. And then I want to say to you that the devil is busy in your life and you got to put your foot down and put him under your feet. Because God's word says, I will meet your need. The devil says, where's your God? God says, I will meet your need. Who are you going to listen to? Because the one you listen to will determine where your life is going to go. If you listen to the voice of Satan, you will go down into the pit. If you listen to the voice of your God, you will come up. And that's where God wants you. God wants you to come up. God has called you to be the head and not the tail. God says you will be on top and not on the bottom. God says you are going forwards and not backwards. But if you listen to the devil, you'll start slowing down and you'll start coming down. Don't listen to the evil one. He's a liar. Let me tell you something. Satan does not know the future. He does not know your future, but he wants to insinuate a future for you. Satan's future for you is, where's your God? God doesn't care for you. Nothing is going to happen for you. You're going to fall apart. You're never going to get out of the situation that you're in. This pit will suck you in. And when you listen to him, that's exactly what your life will begin to manifest. Do not listen to the voice of hopelessness. Listen to the voice of hope. Today, God is speaking a message of hope. And when you receive hope, you will receive peace. Can I tell you why we have no peace in times of turmoil? Because we have no hope. If I have no more hope, then I have no peace because I begin to fall apart. But if I have hope, no matter how bad the storm is, if I do truly realize that Jesus is in the boat with me and with one word he can calm the storm, then I'm not hopeless, then I will not fall apart. And then I have peace. Today God wants you to receive peace. Today God wants you to know that there is always hope. Please just again look at your neighbor and say, there is always
hope. There is hope. There is hope. Look at me. There is hope. You know where our biggest problem lies? Guess. And where does it come from? No, it comes from your own mind. Satan can't make you doubt. Your mind makes you doubt. Satan can speak a lie into your mind, but it's what you do with a lie that makes you doubt or not. You know, Satan wanted Jesus to doubt. He spoke to Jesus. He said, oh, if you are the Son of God, why don't you do this and this and this? Everything he spoke to Jesus was to bring about doubt. Did Jesus doubt? No. Satan did not bring doubt. Jesus would have received doubt and created doubt if he listened to him. Every time Satan spoke to Jesus, Jesus answered through the word. He said, it is written. Jesus countered Satan's lie with the truth. You have to counter Satan's lie with the truth. If you counter Satan's lie with the truth, you conquer him. But if you be quiet, if you receive his lie, if you like, oh yeah, you know what, God hasn't been there for me for the last 5 years, and then, what am I giving you today? I'm giving you hope. What is hope? Hope is a sword. And when you use that sword, you defeat the enemy, and he loses the power that he has. If you somehow expect to meet your needs, you will always come up short. Man's riches, and by that I mean provisions, is fallible. You see, here's the thing with man's provisions. It's here today and gone tomorrow, because there's somebody out there called the thief that sometimes needs it more than you. He comes, he takes it, it goes. The economy, today it's up there, tomorrow it's down there. If your faith is in the economy, you got problems. There can be interference from other people. This one doesn't want you to be prosperous. They go talk behind your back. They create a problem. What's my point? It's not up to you and it's not up to the people around you. Your provision comes from God. Where must your eyes be? They must be on God. It's not some organization that's looking after you. It's not some other person that's looking after you. It's not some bank that's looking after you. It's definitely not the government that's looking after you. It's God. Where must your focus be? Must be on God. If God, however, is the one meeting your needs, then let me ask you this. Do you know anybody that can steal from God? My friend, lots of people have tried. But you can't steal nothing from God. So if God is your provider, how's the devil going to steal your provisions? He can't. If you see yourself as your provider, he'll steal from you because it's easy to steal from you. But if my provisions come from up there, if my inheritance is in heavenly places, as the Bible says, can the devil steal it? No. And even if down here it looks like it's gone, it can't be gone. Why? Because it comes from God. A thief can steal some money from you, but he can never steal your provision, because your provision comes from up there. Do you hear me? Sometimes we're in a situation where it looks like something has been stolen from us, an opportunity has been stolen or whatever. If it's from God, it cannot be stolen. Georgie? If it's from God, it cannot be stolen, because he's your provider. And let me tell you something. Satan might have access to the heavens. We know that he goes up there and he accuses the brethren and, you know, all of that stuff. But he doesn't have access to what belongs to you. God is God. He's sovereign and he's in charge. If you stop seeing yourself or the people around you or the institutions that you look at as your provider, and if you look to God and God only, then you will begin to experience God meeting your needs according to what the Bible calls his glorious riches. You know, the Bible says to God belongs the cattle on 1,000 hills. To God belongs everything. You name the gold, you name the silver, you name the finances, you name whatever. It belongs to God. It does not belong to the devil. It belongs to God. God gives as he wills. The third promise that we find in that scripture is that God will set the prisoners free. And that is a wonderful promise.
Let me ask you a question. Do you have any idea how many people today are in some way a prisoner? And in order for you to answer this correctly, you need to realize that I am not just speaking about people sitting behind bars somewhere. Because you can be sitting in your lounge tomorrow and still be a prisoner. You can be a prisoner. You can be in bondage to fear. You can be in bondage to hopelessness. You can be in bondage to depression. You can be in bondage to some kind of addiction, to some kind of slavery. You can be in bondage to rejection or low self-esteem. There's a lot of things people can be in bondage to. There are some of you here today, you are in bondage to the spirit of death. There are some of you, yeah, you are in bondage to a spirit of famine. You are a prisoner. What does the word of God promise? The Lord sets the prisoners free. What you see, I'm in bondage, but what's the truth? What's the truth? You are free. And now it's time for you to hear the truth and allow God to apply the truth. You do not have to be a prisoner. Look at your neighbor and say, I have good news. You don't have to be a prisoner any longer. You don't have to be a prisoner to fear. You don't have to be a prisoner to rejection. You don't have to be a prisoner to pain. You don't have to be a prisoner to sickness or infirmity. You don't have to be a prisoner to suffering. You don't have to be a prisoner to some dark curse upon your life. Some people are held captive to a wrong mindset. That mindset that says, oh, my life will never get better. That mindset that says, oh, my circumstances will never change. Oh, you know what? My grandfather suffered and my father suffered and me, I'm just going to suffer as well. Things are never going to change. Things are never going to get better. You are a prisoner to a wrong mindset. You must be delivered. You must be set free. Can you be set free? The word of God says God will set the prisoner free. Some people are held prisoner by the devil through witchcraft. You know, witchcraft puts people's lives in bondage. And then we have to just say that witchcraft is not just people going to some funny place drinking muti and chicken blood and all sorts of weird stuff like that. Witchcraft is sometimes the control of another individual in your life. Because witchcraft is none other than control and manipulation. And some people put witchcraft on other people through their personalities. And that person is in just as much bondage as somebody that went and did some ritual in a hut somewhere. What is the good news? God will set the prisoner free. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. God worked supernaturally and he locked the mouths of those lions. In those days when they put you in the lion's den, they had lions that they did not feed for like a week or something. By the time they released those lions into that den, they were ravenous. They would sometimes tear each other to pieces before they even got to the person because that's how hungry they were. And it is in their nature, when they are hungry, they have to feed. I don't know how many lions there was. Was there five? Was there ten? Only God knows. But even if there was only one, the fact that that lion did not jump on Daniel and make mincemeat of him instantly is a divine miracle. Because it goes against the laws of nature. That lion is only worried about his stomach. If it's empty, he has to fill it. If you're there, you become food. God locked the lion's mouths. And do you know how God did it? The Bible says an angel was sent to do it. Now, if an angel can lock a lion's mouth, then an angel can unlock a door. Or he can unlock a mouth. Sometimes we need somebody's mouth to speak. Let's talk about that. What if there was one person somewhere in your sphere of influence that if they say the right words could change your life today forever? What if one key person was to mention your name tomorrow in a meeting or the day after in a business proposal?
And the fact that that person mentioned your name is suddenly going to put you on top of the list and get you into a door that up to now was closed. How did God do this miracle? He sent an angel to lock the lion's mouth. Can he send an angel to unlock a man or a woman's mouth? Can God cause them to say something that they didn't even want to say? Can it be that they don't even like George, but tomorrow they're going to sit there and like, oh, but have you heard of George? Blah, 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 blah. Why not? God is the God of the supernatural. God is the God of uncommon miracles. And look at me, He's on your side. He wants the best for you. When God wants your name to appear somewhere, it will appear. When God wants your name to disappear somewhere, it will disappear. Why? Because He's God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to pray to a golden statue, and they were sentenced to burn in a furnace. The Bible says that the furnace was so hot that the soldiers who had to throw them into the furnace were burnt alive. In other words, when they opened the doors and the guards that stood there that had to throw them in, there was so much heat, they instantly incinerated because of the heat. Now, how's this? The guards that had to throw them into the furnace burnt alive, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked around in there in the midst of the flames, and the flames did not touch them. And when the king's servants looked in there, they saw not three men, but four. Why did they see four? Because there was an angel of God that had been sent to do the impossible, to make a way where there seems to be no way. You can't explain it because it makes no sense to your mind, but fire doesn't always burn. It only burns when there's not an angel there to make sure it doesn't burn. How many tough situations are you in right now? How many things are happening in your life that the devil says, this is going to crush you, this is going to defeat you, this will annihilate you, this will stop you from going forward? If God could send an angel 4,000 years ago to do something impossible, do you really believe that He has changed so much that He can't do it today? No. Then let me ask you, what is really impossible for God? Then let me ask you, why are you so convinced that your situation is so hopeless? Because it's not. We need to have faith that we still serve the God of miracles. We still serve the supernatural God. We still serve the healer. We still serve the deliverer. We still serve the Savior. We still serve the God of the heavenly hosts. And when He sends one of His hosts, they have to obey. Amen. When Peter was locked up in prison, God sent an angel. The angel released him from his chains. They fell off him. The doors that were locked opened, and he just walked out. How scary is that? How wonderful is that? The point that I'm trying to make is it doesn't matter what prison you are in right now. God has the solution. No matter how many locks or chains the devil has put on your life, on your bank account, on your mind, on your future, God has a master key. He can unlock anything, anytime, anywhere. But you must not give in to hopelessness, because God says there is always hope. The fourth promise that we have in that psalm says God gives sight to the blind. Now, we know that Jesus, when He walked on the earth, He gave sight to blind people. In other words, there was people that could not see. Jesus gave them back their sight. And God can still do that today if He wishes. However, by far the greatest blindness affecting mankind today is not physical blindness, but spiritual blindness. Proverbs 29 verse 18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." Can I tell you something? For every one person that is physically blind and they are struggling because of that in some way, there is a million people that are spiritually blind and going nowhere because of their spiritual blindness. And Satan loves it when we are spiritually blind, because we never see the solutions. We only fall into every pit that is ahead of us. We strike every obstacle that he puts in our way, and our life ends up going nowhere. Most people in their lives go nowhere because they don't know where they're supposed to go. You cannot find your way in the dark. It's just the way it is. And the further you go into the darkness, the more you will be lost. The Lord wants to restore to each and every one of his children vision. You know, when God is in your life, one of the things he wants to do is take charge of your life and lead and guide you through the Holy Spirit. The difference between somebody that has godly vision and somebody that doesn't is everybody comes to a crossroads or a fork in the road every now and then. The one with godly vision will know where to go, because wisdom will dictate the decision that they make. The one that has no godly vision will always choose the road that leads to destruction. And the devil will laugh at you. And you know what? There's a lot of people sitting here in this room today that can testify that many times, even though they tried to make right decisions, they ended up making really bad decisions and paying for it. What's your problem? Your problem is you have no vision. There's blindness in your life. A couple of months ago, sometime last year, I preached a sermon that touched on this. And I said that I was going to pray for people that had blindness, spiritual blindness. We actually have it on video. How many people the demon of darkness surfaced and came screaming out of those people. Why was the thing there? Because that's exactly what he wants. He wants you to be blind in every situation, in every circumstance, so that you fall into that pit, so that you hit that obstacle, so that you make the wrong decision. What's the solution? The Bible says God will give sight to the blind. Does God want you to be blind? No. Will he give you sight? Yes. Can you receive it today? Of course you can. So is your situation hopeless? No. The fifth promise says, God will lift up those who are bowed down. The things that cause us to be bowed down are depression, worry, anxiety, heaviness, affliction, sorrow, sadness, heaviness. Sometimes we have a defeatist attitude. Our attitude is like, I'm not even going to try. Why must I try? Nothing seems to happen for me in any case. I work hard. I put in all the time. I put in all the effort. Right now I have nothing to show for it. Yes, God's promise. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. Let me ask you this question. How many burdens are you carrying today? How many worries are upon your shoulders right now? How many things are you carrying that in the spirit is doing this to you? You don't have to answer. Just think about it. Then I want to say to you that your situation is not hopeless, because God says to you today, I will remove that. If you trust him and if you ask him, he will remove that. The blessing of God upon your life will destroy all the things that cause you to be bowed down in a second. Do you know why many people cannot identify with the Apostle Paul when the Apostle Paul speaks about running the race of life? And he says that we must run the race of life so that we can get to the goalposts. You cannot run a race like this. If you have too much weight, if there's too many things, too many burdens upon you right now, you can't even see the goal. Never mind run towards it. How do you get to run the race of life efficiently? How do you get to run the race of life so that you reach the end? You have to throw these things off. You have to cast off your worries, your fears, your anxieties, the things that make you feel hopeless and despondent, that depression that sits on your mind. It's time for it to go. Will God take it away? The Bible says so. God will lift up those who right now are bowed down. Say goodbye to your depression because it's going to go. Say goodbye to your hopelessness. Say goodbye to the despair. Say goodbye to the fear because it must go. How can I say that God says He'll take it away? The sixth promise says, the Lord watches over the alien, the fatherless, and the widow. I'm putting these three together because they speak of the same thing. The alien, the fatherless, and the widow speaks of those who are in a situation of helplessness, vulnerability, and defenselessness. Sometimes we are in that situation. We are vulnerable. We are defenseless. There's too many things coming against us. What does the Bible say? God watches over us in times like that. Where does your help come from? It comes from the Lord. Will God refuse to help you when you are in a situation like this? No, He says in His Word, I will take care of you. I will watch over you. I will protect you. It speaks of God being our protector and God being our helper. The seventh promise that we are given is that God will frustrate the way of the wicked. I want you to listen carefully. No matter who you are or where you come from, there is always going to be people out there who don't like you and who don't want you to succeed. Like somebody there just said, tough. Make peace with that because that's life. But here's what God says, I will frustrate the way of the wicked. If you're sitting here and you like to be wicked towards people, I want to tell you something. You're up against God, my friend. And then you have no hope. Because that's a fight you can't win. I don't want you to feel bad if people don't like you. People didn't like Jesus either. Here's an amazing manifestation of God's blessing. God says that He will upset, confuse, destroy, and even use the wicked's plans against you, against themselves. I'll give you an example. God spoke to Gideon. And God said to Gideon, listen, yeah, I want you to go and make war against the Philistines or whoever they were. They were 10,000 men. Gideon got as many Israelites together as possible, and God said to him, you have too many. First he let a couple of thousand go, then he let another couple of thousand go. Do you know how many men Gideon went up against an army of over 10,000 with? 300. Who won? Gideon. Can I tell you why he won? Because the power of God came upon the enemy and God turned them against themselves. Gideon didn't win the battle. God won the battle. In fact, Gideon did hardly anything. They killed each other. And we see that more and more in the Bible. Now, if God could do it then, why can't He do it now? The Midianites. Judges 7:22, when the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. When God is for you, even 10,000 men cannot be against you. Look at your neighbor and say, praise God. So how many enemies have you got? How many people don't like you? How many people don't want you to succeed? How many demons are working against you right now? For some of you, it's one or two. For some of you, it's hundreds. In the end, I don't care how many there are. The principle is the same. God will make sure that He confuses and frustrates the way of the wicked. The blessing of God upon your life will put them all in their place. So let me ask you a question quickly. I gave you seven blessings promised to all of us. How many of you want those blessings in your life? I'm very disappointed because only one man is raising two hands. Okay. Are you going to jump? I'm proud of you. Before you can have these promises, there are a couple of conditions that God wants you to be aware of. And if you do not meet these conditions, you will hear these promises but not live them. You will see them in somebody else's life but not see them in your own. The first key is to keep praising God. Listen to this. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Psalm 146, verse 1 to 2.
The same psalm that the promises come from says this: praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all of my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. What is our tendency when there are problems? What does the flesh want to do? Oh, where's God? God doesn't care about me. God isn't there for me. Oh, this is rubbish. This is ridiculous. I don't even want to go to church. I'm not going to read my Bible anymore. I'm not going to pray anymore. That's what the devil wants. What must we do? Praise God. You cannot praise God in the good times but refuse to praise Him in the bad times, because you are a double-minded man, and the Bible says you are unstable in all of your ways. You've got to praise God in the good times. You've got to praise God in the bad times. And the reason you praise Him in the bad times is because the bad times will not last, because God is in your life. Because God is your provider. God is your protector. God is your healer. God is your deliverer. God wants all of us to know that praise must be an integral part of our life. Psalm 146, verse 3 to 4 says, do not put your trust in princes or in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirits depart, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans will come to nothing. God is telling you today, stop looking at men, stop looking at women, stop looking at organizations, stop looking at committees. Stop looking at judges. Stop looking at institutions. And stop looking at churches. Because every time you look at men, you stop looking at God. And you suck deeper into the pit. The only one that counts is God. He will use people. He will use men. But it's Him, not men. Psalm 146, verse 5. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord our God. When your situation looks hopeless, it is up to you to stand on the truth and say, I don't care what I see with my eyes. I stand on the truth. My situation is not hopeless. If your heart is right, if you receive this truth, you will have no problem. I'm not saying you won't have problems, because they come for everybody. But you will not be stuck in your problems. You'll get through them easily, because God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Our experience of God's blessings is ultimately linked to where our hope is. Psalm 133, verse 16 to 20 says, no king is saved by the size of his army. The Amalekite king had 10,000 men. He believed that he was safe. 300 men conquered him. Is it the size of your army that keeps you safe? Or is it your God that keeps you safe? It's your God. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, on those whose hope is in Him. Where are the eyes of God right now? God is looking for two types of people. Actually, it's one type of person that has two attributes that are very important. Listen to this. The eyes of the Lord are on those who, number one, fear Him, and number two, whose hope is in His unfailing love. I'm going to say to you again, Satan wants you to feel hopeless, because once you allow hopelessness into your heart, God's eyes are no longer on you, because your heart turns away from God, and your heart turns after your worries, your cares, your fears. Your heart goes deeper into the pit. What is the solution? To stand on the truth. Amen. To remember the blessings that God says is available to all of us. If you really want God to begin to notice you, look at you in a different way, then put your hope in Him. Put your hope in Him from this day forward. Refuse to give in to hopelessness. Refuse to give in to despair. Listen, yeah, it's not a sin for hopelessness to talk to you. The sin will be to listen to it and allow it place in your heart. When the devil starts talking to you in a hopeless manner, shut up, footsack, get out of here. I'm not interested. And counter him with the truth. Say, no, that's not what God's word says. That's not what God promises. I want you to dare to hope, for with God, your situation is never hopeless. Don't look at the signs around you. Look at your God. And let's praise God together, for our hope is Him. Our hope is not an impersonal force. Our hope is Jesus. The Bible says in Him we have a living hope. Did God speak to you today? Give the Lord a big hand, please.